Good morning, Open Door Baptist Church. Will you please all stand with me as we open up with worship this morning?
Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. You've lifted me from the mighty flames, set my feet upon the rock, and now I know I love you, I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go.
Church family, I praise you that we can gather here together and worship you, and worship your name in spirit and truth, God. But Lord, I pray that you will be with us this morning, God. Take away all the junk that we brought in here with us this morning, God. Help us to focus on you, listen to you, praise you, and hear your voice this morning, God. Lord, I ask that your anointing of the Holy Spirit will be upon this service and everything that we say and do, God. And I thank you for it all in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Ready, Kevin?
Tell me.
You know, this past week, I was out last week. These guys took care. Didn't they do a great job?
Amen. Yes, they did.
I'm glad that they were here. And, you know, I went and watched Esther. A play about Esther at the Sight and Sound Theater in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. If you guys ever have a chance to go, please go, because that's one of the most wonderful things I've ever seen as far as a Christian play goes. But one of the things I learned in watching the story of Esther is sometimes God puts us in positions that we don't necessarily want to be there. You know, we are called upon to do things we don't necessarily want to do, but we have to do them anyways. And sometimes we're in places we don't want to be, but God puts us there. And one of the things that Esther always did was she always remembered who she was. And when that time came where God needed her to do what she needed to do, she was able to do that. She actually saved the Jewish nation at that time because of some of the things that she'd done. So the kind of today's set is my thinking of just kind of what God was speaking to me about that. So I'm going to continue with worship this morning. Oceans, you call me upon the waters.
Sovereign hand will be my guide.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord.
Father God, I pray that you would teach us. Teach us to be patient in you. That we will go wherever you lead. We will stand up to meet the call in which you place into each and every one of our lives. Lord, as we come today to celebrate a missions week, Lord, we want to thank you for the opportunity to serve you by serving others. So, Lord, we just want you to be glorified. We pray that you're glorified with this worship. Lord, I pray that we will never grow weary in worshiping you or serving you. So, Lord, we just, as your church, come simply to tell you that we love you. We thank you for all that you do for us, all that you allow us to be in you. So, Lord, we pray that this service will be glorifying to you. This worship is glorifying to you. We lift your name. Lord, we ask your blessing up on this service. In Jesus' most holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning. It is good to see you all this morning. And I've had a lot of people ask me, this is just a protective thing here. I got my stitches out this morning. Yeah, thank you. People said I put this on her because I want more sympathy. No, I want to do the happy dance, all right? So it feels good, and I can use everything. It doesn't feel bad, so enough about me. Edith, this is your last Sunday with us. You're going to Baltimore. You did take a Steeler jersey with you, right? Yeah, all right, okay. Well, Edith, we love you, and we are going to miss you, and you're going to come back and visit, right?
I pray I will.
You pray you will. Amen. Listen, Edith, it's been an honor to have you a part of this church. It really has. And as I sat with you this week, it's been an honor to serve you and to be your pastor. And amen. Well, thank you very much. And so we just want to keep her in our prayers, that the Lord will just bless her abundantly. 92 years old and starting over. There ain't nothing to stop you, is there? No, right? See, that's what I like right there. Amen. That's exactly right. He'll give you what you need when you need it. Amen. Okay, listen, today is a Sunday that we're going to celebrate missions here at our church. We've often said in the past that we always wanted to do something after we come back from mission trips, and it seems like we really failed to do that. Well, this year we became very intentional about doing that, so that's what I want to do. One thing I love about this church is it's missions-minded. I believe it's one of the successes of why the Lord continues to bless this church is our minds are based on missions and serving others. And I can't take the credit for that. It's not just me, it's we. We all do that. And so I wanted to take some time today and just share with you very briefly as we move into this. My life verse is a mission statement. And I did that on purpose because I always wanted it to be a reminder to me to keep on keeping on. And so my life verse is Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. It says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." And that's a mission statement right there. That's a missions verse right there. And that's what I have always tried to keep in focus as I ministered through this church and being a part of this church was to lead us to be mission-minded. There's a couple things I just want to point out very briefly, and I'm going to bring some gentlemen up here to speak to you today about missions and their church. But notice there it says, especially to the household of faith. Right? And especially to believers. I want you to see that. We are to be continuously, looking for opportunities that God brings in our pathway. It should be something that we're continually looking for God to bring people or show us things and how we can help other people. But especially to churches. To believers. Yeah, we do things outside of the household of faith. We do it all the time. But I want you to notice here, he says, especially to believers, doing good for them. What's that mean? It means loving them. Loving them. The idea that this verse lends here is that when we're loving others like this, it's an expression of how we ourselves love God. Do you see that? It's an expression of how we ourselves love God. Because if we didn't first love God, we probably wouldn't care a whole lot about other people, right? So what I want just to point out here is, look, there's a mandate here for us to love. And that love can't come outside of our expression of our love for God. Amen. Here's the other thing I want you to look at. I want you to see this. It says, don't grow weary. Don't grow tired. Don't get stagnant. Don't give up. You know, at the beginning of this year of missions, there was a statement made by somebody that says, you know, here we go again. We just need to follow the same old thing and do the same old thing, the same old routine. No, we don't. You know why? Because God's going to bring new people into our lives. They're going to bring new believers into our lives that we've never met. And they're going to bring new opportunities to serve those people in ways that maybe other people can't, that God has blessed us with, that we can do for them. So look, don't grow stagnant. Don't grow tired. Don't give up. You know, that opportunity there is not like a one and done. That opportunity there is a continual, active, ongoing thing. It's not just for one day or one month. It's an ongoing thing that we're supposed to be doing. So we are to constantly be moving forward. We should always be pressing forward into serving others. And, you know, that's hard to get embedded. It really is. It's hard to get that embedded into the body of believers. Because here's what we like to do. A lot of times we just like to go to church and go home. We don't like to be bothered during the week doing this or doing that. But listen to me. It goes back. Our serving others is an expression of our love, our personal, individual love for God. So let's look at that. So opportunity is a privilege. It's an actual privilege for us to be able to serve. You know that the God of of the universe, the Creator, Lord Jesus Christ, came. He didn't come to be served. What did he come to do? To serve. Who? You and me. He was the living life example. And has he stopped serving us? No, he hasn't. He still serves us in very powerful ways every single day. That's why we call upon his name. That's why we pray. That's why we reach out to him. That's why we have prayer chains and prayer circles and prayer meetings. Why? Because we're asking him to serve us. But also sometimes we need to pray, Lord, how can I serve you? How can I serve your church? We want to get a lot, but we have to train ourselves to give a lot. And I'm proud to be part of a church that does that. I really, truly am. Active, ongoing, continual, never ceasing doing good. And you know what? When you do that, that puts you into a position to be in God's favor. What I mean is this. I'm not saying that because we go do good for people that God's going to somehow bless us individually beyond measure, that we get $1 million in our bank account. That's not what that means. But just all you who have children, when your kids are being obedient, right? When your kids are being obedient, you have a natural tendency to have favor. When they're being disobedient, you have not so much, right? So there's the kind of the idea there. And I think that's what God is saying here is, look, when you're in obedience to this, to what I'm commanding you to do, my thing is, I'm going to find favor in that. You know, when my kids went to Walmart, I never bribed them with something. You know, I hear it all, I've seen it on the way, people walking with their kids. Now, if you be good, I'll buy you this and I'll buy you that. I'll buy you a lollipop, I'll buy you a candy bar. No, that was not me. There was an expectation for you to be good. Because here's what happens. When they're this big, it's lollipops and candy bars. When they're this big, it's games that cost $100 and some. Look, God finds favor in our obedience. And you're more apt to give your blessing up on your children when they're acting in that way. And I'm just telling you, I'm proud to be a part of this church that has that in their hearts to do that. Amen? Okay, that's their sermon. Y'all like, what? You're right. Listen, it doesn't take a whole lot to get that right. If you're not serving other people, Start. You don't understand the blessing that you're missing. Not just now, but eternally. There's a blessing in it. So if you're not, start. It's one of the hardest things you'll hate to do. I absolutely hate mission trips. But I love every minute of it. I do. I honestly, every minute of it. I love it. If I knew that that was going to happen, I would still go. Why? Because the experience that you get, the fellowship in Christ that you get, the camaraderie you get. And I want to tell you something. Some really great biblical insight takes place when you're serving other people. So don't miss out on that. So that being said, as you well know, we just got back from Flatwoods about 2 weeks ago. Right? And so their pastor is on sabbatical right now until November, I believe it is. But you are the youth pastor, which is your next up, right? But he was on site with us every day. He led our devotions every day and did a great job. But listen, this is Chris Slager and his wife, Kirsty. I get it wrong every time, all week, last night, today. But, brother, I'm going to ask you to come on up. And this is Chris. And like I said, he's the youth pastor at Living River Chapel. And I'm not going to say a whole lot, but Monday night, it lived up to, that Monday night we got there, lived up to its name.
It's all right, I'll talk about that.
All right, all right, you have it, brother.
Yeah, I'm Chris Slager. My wife, Kirsty, is here with me. Our kids are with my parents back at church, which they're already done for the morning. We were watching the Facebook live stream as we were getting ready to come up here. But my dad's there right now. My dad is the worship and teaching pastor there. And my mom works with me with the kids because my wife deals with our kids enough that she doesn't need to deal with everybody else's. Our church was started back in 2007 by my grandfather, who last September went home to be with the Lord at right after his 80th birthday. But he started it. It started with him and my grandmother and my uncle and his wife sitting in a what was a garage. Attached to this little house with no heat in October, early a Sunday morning, sitting around a little kerosene heater with four chairs, and they had church. So, I mean, if you guys ever can't come up here, y'all can still have church.
Amen.
But yeah, that's how it started, and for a time it was like that, and then they started getting other folks coming, started growing, and eventually got to the point where they outgrew that little garage, and this is my family. This will give you some insight in my family. So what do? They go and buy a bigger garage to grow the church physically. And that's where we currently are right now. But as Pastor Larry and the folks that went down there can tell you, it's no longer a garage. If you were to go up there today, you could not tell that it used to be a garage, which is amazing because 5 years ago when my wife and I moved up, it was a garage still. You still had the, there was no carpeting, no, the carpet squares weren't on the floor yet, so you could still see the anchor points where they would have the chains hooked up and everything like that for the garage. There was a storage shed out to the side with a gravel floor. That area now is our fellowship hall with a nice concrete floor and air conditioning, thanks to y'all. We appreciate that. It had the skylights, which was fun, over the sanctuary. It would rain. Whenever it would rain, it would leak, pour into the sanctuary. And thankfully, we have a new roof last year. Again, thank you all for that. Because our goal, and we've had a lot of mission teams come up from a lot of different states. We've had folks come up just this year from Georgia and Florida. Interesting story about that. They wanted to go on an international mission trip to South America. They go every year to the same location in South America where people will walk for 6 or 7 hours through gorilla-infested forests where they could be killed just to go to church for a few hours and then make the walk back. And that's usually where they go. But this year it got canceled because of COVID. And they were scrambling. So they called the SBC National Office for Missions. And they say, where can we go in the U.S. on our mission trip, and our church just happened to be at the top of the list on the paper that was sitting on the person's desk. So we had this team come up, and they did some work in our mission dorm. Our mission dorm, because we're a church that believes in missions as well, our mission dorm is set up for people for not just mission teams that come to our church, for mission teams that come up to our area, so they have a free place to stay, so that more people can come from more churches and serve Braxton County. So we built a mission dorm for that purpose that can hold 30 people, has 30 bunk beds in it. They did some work on that. We have a team come up from North Carolina every year to do vacation Bible school. It started out as they came up and did it for us. This year was the first year that we truly got to work together with them. We had enough people in the church that were willing to volunteer that we got to actually work together with them. Of course, we have your folks come up, and we love Matt and maybe Larry.
Yeah.
No, we love having you guys. It was a fun week that first Monday. They're not joking when they say Living River Chapel. It poured, and behind our church is a hill, and the water comes rushing down the hill, and it comes up against the church, and it just flows like crazy everywhere. Then they actually got they had tore off the roof they were tearing off and put the new roof on Monday night because we didn't want water in the baptistry. I think you guys were up there till 12:30
yeah.
Monday night putting that roof on so that water wouldn't get into the baptistry, at least water that we didn't want in the baptistry. Mm-hmm. We like when there's water in there, just not rainwater. Mm-hmm. But we've had the opportunity as a church because of the work that other churches have poured into us. 2 years ago, we went on as a church. A church of, at the time, about 20-some-odd people. We went on 3 mission trips in the 2 years ago. We go down to North Carolina. The same team that comes up and does VBS, we go down there during their upward basketball week, or the end of their upwards basketball, and we bring folks from our church to share testimonies during halftime at the games. Because it's what we can do. They don't need any physical labor. At least they haven't told us. Which Dad and I would love to use our tools on a mission trip. But we go down there and we just talk about ourselves. We went to Georgia 2 years ago and helped with VBS down there. We went to North Carolina again, down to right outside of Fort Bragg. And again, helped with VBS, which is an interesting thing for me because I wasn't planning on doing much work because as a pastor, you don't plan on doing much work on mission trips. but they needed somebody to teach the Bible stories to all the different age groups. And when it came to the night of sharing the gospel with the kids and sharing that story, I had 20 kids that night throughout the different age groups pray to receive Christ. That's what missions is about. Missions is about going and doing something that seems like it does no good whatsoever, or something that is annoying, something that is painful sometimes. Stuff that you don't want to do because you don't want to work out in the hot sun on a metal roof. When it's 90-something degrees outside, so it feels like it's 200 degrees. But when you do that, people get to hear about Jesus. And that's what the point is. What we do, what you guys do by going, by funding the people who do go, by praying for the people who go, you guys are furthering God's kingdom. You guys have a hand in every single person that comes to Christ through our church. Because you guys have either put blood, sweat, and tears into it, you've given financially, or you've just prayed over it. When I get to tell the area that you guys worked on this 2 weeks ago is going to turn into our youth area. So now when teenagers sit in that room and they pray to receive Christ, you guys did that. I'm just the funnel that God gets to work through. God gets to put the work that you put in through me so that I can tell people about Jesus. I was talking to Larry this week about what to talk about. And, you know, it brought to mind a conversation I had with Matt while you guys were down there. And Matt seemed especially happy to be there. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen Matt happy. But he seemed especially happy, and we were kind of talking about it, and something that he said kind of got to me. He said he really appreciated work that he was doing being used. And that's something that's not just Matt that gets to take part. That's something you guys all get to take part in. The work that you guys did. Already, I showed the folks at dinner last night the pictures of the block walls that I've torn down this past week so that we can use that room, because the goal is to start using that area the beginning of September, because we need to have our youth Sunday school class now, because we'll actually have the space to do it. That's the goal. And so the work has to be done. So the work that you guys did, it's already being used to reach people. We had a youth come and visit and got to see the work that's done for them. And our folks in our area, especially the folks that come to our church, they don't have a lot to feel special about. They go to bigger churches. And they get dirty looks because they put change in the offering plate instead of paper. They, you know, they're all buddy-buddy with them when they come for food giveaways and everything. But when it comes to taking part in their lives and making them feel how God views them rather than how they view themselves, they don't get that. And so they come to our church, and our whole goal was to make somewhere that they could feel like they were special, like they were loved, like people cared about them, that it wasn't just a ratty old broken-down church building or a garage that they could come and meet Jesus, but that they actually felt like it was theirs, like it was their church. And it's okay to feel like the church is yours, that the building is yours. Because the building is yours. You're God's. You're God's church. The people are God's church. The building is the people's church, where you get to come and you get to throw away the cares of the day, the cares of the week, and you get to focus completely on Christ and what Christ means to you and what you mean to Him. And that's what we wanted to build. And every time a team comes and even does just some painting on the building, it's working to make those people special. I have a life verse that I wanted to share. And, you know, it's hit me a lot more since I've had to come to rely. I come from growing up in big churches and everything, where everything was taken care of and there was no need for mission teams to come. And now having so many teams pour into me, I've had to really learn this verse. But it's Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. Missions, especially when you're a church that gets poured into and then you're a church that gets to send, that verse is your daily bread for missions. Trust in God. When God says, I'm sending you somebody, trust that God is sending you them. When God says, I'm sending you somewhere, trust that He's sending you there. Thank you guys for everything that you do. We do truly love you, including Pastor Larry. We do truly love you. I know Aaron would have loved to be here today. He would have loved to come and visit y'all. And he definitely would have talked a lot more than I do. But yeah, we do truly appreciate it, and we do hope to continue working with you guys. My dad was talking about coming alongside this church and actually going on a mission trip with y'all and working alongside y'all. That's something that eventually he would love to do. So we look forward to working with you guys continually, and we will be praying for you. And just again, we love you guys very much.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Chris, for that. And our whole goal of what we do is about getting the gospel furthered. And that's it. That's plain simple. That's about as plain as a mission statement that you can get, right? I think we have a video, is that right, of their church? Some pictures?
Yeah, slideshow.
All right, let's do it. This is their church that we went to work on. That'd be the fellowship hall. Some of the material there. They just got that steeple not very long ago, actually, this year, right? Yeah, Right there is where I cut my hand. Right there. Yeah. That's the space that we went over with a roof and everything, and increased our space there. You'll see later that we came off of that roof on the back up there. When I say we, I mean Matt and them. Came off of that brown roof and clear out past this roof and went clear down past here and then back and met that building in the back there and close that all into one building. Painting crew. They painted the entire complex all the way around. There you go. You can see us coming off that roof now. That's what Matt did most of the time, is drink coffee and play with the cat.
Don't worry, yours is coming up.
Oh, I'm sure. No doubt about it.
Is that ice cream in your hands later?
No.
Okay.
That's me and Ralph sitting in the big chair eating ice cream.
Oh, okay.
After the work was done.
Oh.
Huh?
Oh, wait,
let me tell you, that girl deserved that. That girl right there is a worker, I'm telling you. Cynthia. Yeah. And there's Paula. I don't even want to explain that. Oh, right there in the background, that blonde-haired lady, that's Chris's mom.
Yeah,
it's Chris's mom. And there's Aria, buddy. She's just getting with it there, wasn't she? See, all of that is now enclosed. What you see right there is now all enclosed with roof. That's where the water came in. There you go. See all that part right here? That whole roof was added in this lean-to on the back, but that whole tan part here and all the way back was added as well.
That's it.
Cool. That was enough. So, but We hope that the space will help you, and I believe that we want to talk to you about returning, okay? So, because there's a lot we feel that we can help you with.
We didn't scare you off?
You didn't. No. But, no, it was really good, and we, as a church, want to thank you and your church for allowing us to serve you. It's our blessing to do that. All right? All right. Mike, you got a song? Let's do a song, and then I'm going to have Mr. Carney come, and then he will speak to us about North Wheeling. All right?
Sounds good.
Give you a little intermission here. See if you like this song. I don't know if you will or not. We'll see. You don't like this song at all. Stand.
This is why we do it. For the great I am.
Amen.
I want to be close. I'm not afraid to die.
reason we do, you may be seated, the reason we do what we do is for the great I am. Why? So we can all stand as one. Amen. Well, thank you, praise band. And this next guy I'm going to introduce you to is, his name is Brother Ray Carney, and his wife Dina is with him. And listen, I have served with Ray because he's part of our association. He's the treasurer of our association. And I've known Ray for a few years, and I can tell you, this is the most genuine, on fire for his community, for Jesus Christ, than anybody I know. And I'm just going to tell you, because I told them, when they were doing what they were doing, you're nuts. I think you're just nuts doing this where you're doing it. And I was absolutely wrong. And I've shared that with you during a business meeting one evening, that I was wrong. Ray, don't hesitate. Come on up here. Is that these people, they are on fire for Jesus Christ. They are determined for Jesus Christ. And they're not going to let adversity or anything else, because their God is greater. Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Amen. Roll,
thank
brother.
You. Good morning. Praise the Lord. Good morning, church. Maybe start out with a quick prayer, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Our Father, we come before you this morning, humbled by your grace, thankful for your forgiveness, and eager to know, and more importantly, do your will in our lives and our communities, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. We mostly thank you for your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, my brother Pete, I am a deacon at Faith Community Church, so my brother Pete asked me to bring his greetings. He's doing the service this morning. And greetings from the hood. my wife Dina and I are so happy to be here with you all. I don't know if you know the type of impact you've had on the individuals in our church and the people in our community. And I don't know that words will explain it, but I felt compelled to come up and speak with you for a minute. So just like to start off with a quick video from my brother, Pastor Pete.
I'm sure if we all took a second and we thought back, we all took a second and we look back and we recall where our spiritual life in Christ began, there is a memory. And in that memory is a special church. A church that you can identify with.
I had been EOM for about 3 weeks when I got an invitation to come have dinner with Pastor Pete and Ray Carney, his deacon, and then his other deacon, Ray Stokey. And I went over to their house, and Pete made his specialty, which were ribs that tasted just like candy. So being a good Southern Baptist, I mean, I was just all in from that moment. But, you know, that night I really got to hear their heart. They shared with me the founding of the church when Mike Watson showed up on their front door with fresh baked cookies. And he was looking for some people who wanted to be missionaries to the neighborhood of North Wheeling. And from that initial experience, Faith Community Church was born. Over the course of the next 11 years, they got planted, bought property, and began to establish the church here in the community.
Pastor Mike Watson was leaving the area, and they were in need of a pastor. Brian Kingdom was also attending the church at the time. I took that as an invitation for me to become an associate pastor under him. And I began to preach once a week for about 3 years. And then Pastor Brian King, his season was over here. It was time for him to move on. So I became the senior pastor then, and that's been about 2 years ago.
In 2016, the church made huge leaps in its development. The Lord provided the church with several parcels of property on Kenny Street in North Wheeling. Houses on four of those parcels were demolished to make way for Faith Park. A duplex on the corner of Kenny Street and 4th Street was purchased with gifted funds to serve as the church's future worship center and ministry office. With property in the heart of its community, the next steps in the congregation's vision became crystal clear: to construct a church campus that would minister to its neighborhood.
My brother called me and told me that the church was on fire.
We all went up there, and we sat there on the sidewalk and watched the fire. I mean, it was pretty bad. There was probably four or five fire trucks there, and what are we going to do?
Well, I remember Saturday morning, July 7th, very vividly. I woke up that morning and I began to drink some coffee, and I was just on my iPad surfing the internet through Facebook, and I ran across a story on Channel 7 about a fire at the Augusta Levy Center, and I knew that Faith Community Church was meeting there. And so immediately I began to scan the comments with interest, and I kid you not, at that exact moment, Ray Carney from Faith Community Church called me. I said, "Ray, how you doing?" And he said, "Man, not good, brother." He said, "Our church just burnt down." And so I knew at that moment that we were in the midst of a crisis, but also knew that because we're better together, that there was hope. When I got here, I was able to see all the fire trucks fighting the fire at the building. I was able to meet up with Pastor Pete and spend some time just kind of hearing what they were thinking and what their strategy was. When a church burns to the ground, it's a crisis moment.
That was on a Saturday. Sunday morning, we had services. We were determined not to let that dissuade us in any to keep the faith and to keep pushing forward, and we ended up having service here in the park. I've heard it been said before that where there is a vision, God always follows that vision with provision. And without a doubt, I'm certain in my mind that he's made that aware to me through prayer. I've been doing a lot of praying about what the future holds for the church. We have a building, we have this park. And it's gonna be established. There's no question.
We did that video not too long after the church had burnt down, and we were having services in a tent in the field there. It was summertime, thank God, and people still showed up for under the tent. And stayed faithful, and we prayed. We prayed that God would help us to get a permanent home in the community. I wanted to show you, start the slideshow a little bit and show you how wonderful our God is and how he works through folks just like you to help things come together. So we had this building in North Wheeling, right? Right dead smack in the middle of the hood, and the buildings weren't in that great a shape. So as Pastor Larry alluded to, and you weren't the only one, everybody from the mayor to the building inspector all said, no, you're not going to do that here. But we felt that the Lord had placed it on our hearts to do it, and so we were determined to get it done. We had this old ratty duplex building on next to the property that we purchased that we originally were going to build on, and then when we did the core sampling and the parking variances, it turned out we couldn't do that, so we couldn't use that property to build a new building. But we're sitting under the tent. What are we going to do? We're praying. We look up in this old blue building sitting up on the corner, and my brother and Deacon Stokey and Dina and some other folks looked, and they're like... All right. I said, come on, let's go up and check it out and see what it looks like. Maybe there's something we can do. And we walked into the building for the first time. Dina and I had owned it for a few years, but it had sat empty for at least a year. And we were just storing things in there, and stuff began to accumulate in this old building. But we go into the front door. If you could step back just one time on that slide there to the first slide. We walked in the building for the first time, pushed our way through some trash and things like that. And when we saw this, in the building. And do you see what it says underneath there? It says, do something. and so automatically, our whole perspective changed, right? We now had gotten the guidance, right? Pretty simple, pretty simple plan, do something. So that's what we started to do. But this is what the place looked like. Next slide. I mean, it's a ratty old building in the middle of the hood. Who could possibly imagine that God would rise up a church in that spot? We had missions. We had folks come in from missions. We weren't a wealthy church or anything like that. We had been in existence for 10 years. We called ourselves the Church of Change because that's what mostly went into the tithing the tithing basket, right? Right. And we were in North Wheeling in the middle of the hood where I got to tell you, there aren't a lot of saved people. There is a lot of need to fight the fight. We started out slow. We had some provision from what we had accumulated over those first 10 years in the previous church. And, of course, the Upper High Valley Baptist Association and the Southern Baptist Convention and the people in our church and some other folks helped us initially with the provision we needed to get started. And that's what we started with. Next slide. The first team that came to see us, I'd never had any experience with mission teams, right? So I didn't know what to expect. But the first team came through Cameron Baptist Church. They came from Grayling, Michigan, near the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, right? And when they showed up that morning, you know, we're ready to do some heavy-duty demo, man. We're going to tear down this chimney and all this stuff, and we're going to dig into it, right? Well, if I don't know, you can't really see the picture super clearly. But of the 15 people or so showed up, 14 were teenage girls. Now, that's not fair. I wanted to do that originally, but then God is so amazing, right? He doesn't send 10 Mac McMasters, right? 10 big contractors. He sends us these 15 teenage girls. But they went right to work. We started tearing. You see, we're covered in filth there. They had no problems. We went up to the top of the roof, sat on top of the chimney, and started tipping away the bricks. Three stories down, these girls, especially the youngest one there, tearing down the chimney and hauling out the brick to give us space. Next slide, please. This is what the inside of the place looked like once the folks from Grayling and we did some work again. Next slide. Next, it was an old duplex house on the corner. Next. Next. Completely gutted it out. Next. And this is about what it looked like when the folks from Grayling left. And we had it all gutted out. And we planned to put an addition on to build a fellowship hall and a sanctuary onto this old building. Next. That's it. That's what it looked like. That's what we started with. And that's why I don't get angry with Pastor Larry when he says, Ray, what are you crazy, man? Next. Quick story about provision. We had started with some provision, right? We had worked through that, but we were still ready to roll and ready to go. We just, you know, as you know, you need to buy materials and things like that. A friend of mine that lives in Berlin that I'd come to know through as a friend and a business associate over the years, I told him, and he's a real backbone Christian from over there, I had told him about our plans and what we were doing in building the church. And he called me up one day. He and his wife came down to see us and see the building. And they had the same, again, they had the same reaction. But they went home, he and his wife Gail, and they called me not too long after that and said, Rod is his name, Rod Mast. He calls me and he says, Ray, he goes, I was coming through the garage this morning and I glanced over at my Harley, at my trike. He said, I bought that thing 4 years ago, and I got about 400 miles on it. And he said, I got this overwhelming feeling when I was standing there in front of him that God wants your church to have this motorcycle. And I said, oh, okay. But he donated this motorcycle to us, and we were able to sell it and use that provision to continue the work on from that point there. So praise the Lord, right? Teenage girls, Harley motorcycles, build your church. Next slide, please. Quick video. Then we had a church come up from Florida called Parkview Baptist. I'll show you quick few minutes. This is
the Parkview construction team arrived in North Wheeling, West Virginia to begin work on Faith Community Church. The church began in 2008 with six people attending its first meeting. The church met in a former Catholic church building and continued meeting there until a fire destroyed it in July of 2018. After the fire, the church met under a tent or in the meeting room of a senior citizens housing facility. Prior to that time, several parcels of land in North Wheeling were either purchased or gifted to the church. Houses on four of the parcels were demolished in order to make Faith Park. A large duplex was purchased with gifted funds to serve as the church's future worship center and ministry office. This is the project that the construction team worked on the week of June 1st through 7th. At first glance, the building we were to renovate looked like it needed to be demolished and just start over, but an architect had deemed that the building had good bones and could be salvaged. Plans were drawn up and the job was begun. North Wheeling is not the almost heaven, as the John Denver song says about West Virginia, but is instead an area that shows signs of the economic downturn, with beautiful buildings of yesteryear showing signs of disrepair. Former residents of these beautiful buildings have moved on, leaving the buildings abandoned to decay or to be purchased by people who cannot afford to return them to their former beauty. Some areas of the neighborhood have been totally demolished and replaced with subsidized housing. It was refreshing to see that some buildings have been restored to their former grandeur. Our first gathering as a team was the Sunday morning service of Faith Community Church, which was held under a tent at Faith Park. There were about 15 to 20 people who represented the church. The rest was the construction team. Monday, we began work with several teams being given assignments, and work was begun on different parts of the church. One crew was in charge of installing doors and windows and working on plumbing. Another crew worked in the basement, excavating the area for the footers and floor for the new sanctuary. Was also in charge of shoring up the entire side of the building with a support wall so that the old exterior wall could be torn down and a new wall built in its place. The architect was called in for a consultation regarding the procedure that needed to be followed.
Joshua fought the battle of Jericho.
It's a labor of love, right? Praise the Lord. The next slide. So after the folks from Parkview Baptist Church in Lake City, Florida left, this is where we were at. You can see we had taken out that wall and built a new foundation to shore up the whole side of the building. One thing I did want to mention to you, you may have seen in the video, and then this guy right here. In North Wheeling, there are a lot of unsaved folks, right? But already we see the impact of God's work in our community in that these guys noticed us doing this and just said, hey, can I help? Can I lend a hand, right? Guys that you normally wouldn't, certainly wouldn't see in church. But they somehow God reached out to them and convicted them to help us out. And it's been a beautiful thing. And we hope to be able to save a lot of those souls in North Wheeling. Amen. Next. Yeah, but that's not the kind of guy you'd see painting a cross out in front of your church. But next. Technical difficulties. Okay, we built the Cameron Baptist Church shows up, and we start doing the siding. That's Pastor Mike there for you guys. Next. Next. They came in, they started doing the siding on the outside of the building, hanging ceilings, ceiling tile. Next. They did tons of work for us, their mission trip. Next. They even built us a railing for our steps down into the park. Next. And they weren't afraid to get up on that lift all the way to the top. Next. And after they left, we started constructing the fellowship hall. A lot of the work was done through mission trips. A good majority of the work was done by the folks in our church on evenings and Saturdays. Next. We had block layers come in, start laying the foundation for the sanctuary, fellowship hall and sanctuary. Next. Open Door arrives on the scene. Pastor Larry. And Matt and the guys and folks that showed up. We brought the trusses in for the floor. Next. Guys went right to work. I mean, it's just a wonderful feeling, just a sense of the Spirit. Same feeling that Dean and I felt this morning when we came into your church and Jill and Randy just came up to us. Don't know us from Adam, but, you know, we're kind to us. It's a beautiful thing. Next. Guys laying. Who's this guy here? Do we know him in the Ohio State? Is he here?
Yep.
Where's he at?
Jason.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate you, brother. Praise the Lord, man. I'm a Mountaineer fan, but I'll give you the pass on the Buckeyes. Next. We had some fellowship and had lunch together, and the folks got to meet some of the kids from the community. We started laying out the floors, and Matt started put together the walls, framing for the walls, and gave me a quick down and dirty lesson and said, Ray, this is how you do it. And he taught us well because we were able to get the walls up without any experience, right? God does those kind of things for you. When we started, who could build? Build what? Next. You can see, we got the floor joists in. Out the side of the building now. Next. Got the fellowship hall all dried in. And we started some guys from Indian Creek and Emmanuel, also sister churches of ours in the Upper High Valley Baptist Association. Next. Next. Just building right away. Next. Framing. Next. That JD and I, a guy that... I mean, God sends folks to you, right? I mean, after Matt left, that the whole brains went out of the operation when it came for construction, right? But JD just came to us. He's a friend of mine from years ago. Hadn't seen him in years, and he's a master carpenter, and just showed up in our lives like that. Next. Started to build it out. Next. Ended up putting the roof on, the inside. Next. Chuck and Jonathan. Chuck is a director of missions for the association. They put together and wired our sound system, our video and sound system. Next. Started the drywalling. Next. Guys from Indian Creek and Cameron came back and helped us with some of the drywalling. Next. Started to dry in the building, as you can see there. Next. Delivery of some stuff, starting to dry it in. Next. See the conversion. You see it start to come together now, right? Next. And that's where we were at months ago. You can see we just had the building block. We didn't have our steeple. We didn't have a porch. We didn't have a kitchen. We didn't have bathrooms. We were out of funding. I think we were down to $3.52. So we prayed about it, as we had been doing. And I went to the bank because we needed to get downspouts. We needed things that we would need for the weather. So we waited, but then we got the message from the Lord that we should probably go to the bank and see if they could help us out. So I went to the bank, and I got a $10,000 signature note just on my signature. First time in my life that I've ever borrowed a penny without any idea of how we were going to pay it back. Had no idea, had no plan, but knew that we needed it. The bank was willing to give it to us, and we borrowed the $10,000. That was on like a Wednesday. That following Sunday, Pastor Larry and Donna came to church. Where's Donna? Donna came to church. Pastor Larry and Donna came to our service, and it was just like any other Sunday, a regular service, and didn't think much of it. And they were gracious to us, and we were glad to have them. And we thanked each other and blessed the Lord, and then left that service. Next day, on Monday, I was down in the evening working on the church, and the way we handle our tithing is, you know, we collect the tithe, and then a lady in our church, Judy, takes it home. Nobody ever sees or knows or what. She takes it home and counts it up and creates the deposit slip and then calls the other deacon. He comes and gets the money and takes it to the bank. We're out there working just after that Sunday, and I hear some car honking. Remember, I turn around. Here comes Deacon Ray, and he's flying down the road honking the horn. He jumps out of the car. I'm like, whoa, what's up? And he comes to me with a piece of paper like this. I don't think he goes, you got to see this. You got to see this. Right? And I'm like, oh, okay, I got to see it. So I looked at it, and it was a check. It was a check from you all. And I saw 7.5, but it didn't really register to me what it was. So don't you know that by you following the will of God in your life, what it was we had stepped out and borrowed that $10,000 without knowing where it was coming from, on faith, if you will. And within 3 days, the Lord had increased that through you sevenfold. Seven. Sevenfold. And what we were able to do next, these are all things that you did for us, that through God you did for us. We started to wrap the bottom of the building in the stone. Someone had donated this beautiful stone, but we couldn't afford to pay the guy to put it up, and none of us knew how to do it. But next, our porch was just a gravel pit right outside. We had sunk, you know, almost $10,000 in gravel in that hole the way that it had to be built, believe it or not. Next. The stonework, really, we concreted in the porch and built the wall and covered it in this stone veneer. Next. You all helped us to put the cornerstone in our church in North Wheeling. Next. Then, the long-awaited steeple, man. We were ready to shock the hood now because they could see the building, but they truly, maybe when you passed it, you didn't know what type of building it was. But when we put this steeple up, it sent the message out loud and clear, and that's all thanks to you all. We got it from Alabama and had to have it shipped up. But then some guy showed up, and we lifted it up. Next. Well, that's us standing on top of the steeple there, on top of the church. Next. So if you're wondering about missions, if you're wondering about how your missions are put to work in the community, I can safely say to you that you've had an impact on our community and the legacy of Open Door Baptist Church, and your willingness to do missions will last forever and ever in North Wheeling. Next. 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 We got the sanctuary finished up inside. Next. We were able to finish our fellowship hall, right, where we, Dean and I, are so blessed to have our first grandbaby, Lottie, and we were able to have her first one-year-old birthday party there in the fellowship hall, praise the Lord. And then you know these guys here. That's Donna's brother there, isn't it? Yeah. And then isn't that your brother there?
That's
yeah.
My brother.
Yeah, Kevin and Carrie Ann, and you all just recently supported us in our motorcycle fundraiser. It was a beautiful thing. Next. Check out the kitchen, folks. That bathroom, or that basement that was a hole in the wall, and we tore the floors out and the walls out and everything else, and it's helping us to drive our first mission, make the gospel available to people in North Wheeling. Second mission was to address needs of the children in our community with just teaching them basic life skills, and Dina teaching the girls how to cook. We needed a kitchen first before we could do that, and you helped us out with that. Praise the Lord. Next. And certainly last but not least, but you need bathrooms. We have bathrooms and hallways. Next. So, again, it's just a pleasure for us to be here. We're so fortunate to be a sister church to Open Door Baptist Church, and I hope that you understand the impact that these missions that you are on have on other folks. And I will end this with just the word, right? And it is Matthew 16, verse 18, and it's Jesus when he's speaking to Peter, and he says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." I thank you all. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Y'all please stand.
part of this place.
We are